Hey, everybody. This is Kyler Bingham with Salt Lake Dirt and KPCR 92.9 FM in Los Gatos. Very excited today to talk to, well, he does all kinds of things. He's an actor. He's a writer, director, producer. He kind of does it all. So very, very thrilled to have Michael Cavalieri on the show today. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Great pronunciation of the last name, Kyler.
I tried.
Good job.
I tried. I was so much self-doubt, but I did my best. But yeah, well, thanks for being here. This is a very cool opportunity for us. And I know our listeners are going to be excited to hear about what you have to talk about today. You have a documentary, and you also have a feature that is based on your life. So I know there's going to be a screening April 7th up in Ontario, Canada for the documentary. Let's just talk about whichever of those, you know, whatever you want to tackle first, and let's give people an idea of what you have going on.
All right. Well, this whole crazy experience of trying to become a writer, director started when I was an actor. And, you know, I was an actor for many years. And after the loss of my parents and my sister, I was kind of like, I didn't like the parts that they were tossing my way or wanting me to audition for. So I said, you know, I don't believe in the stereotypes. I don't believe in these kind of characters. I really, really want to get back to what I was raised with, was my grandfather and his cultural roots. So after the death of those family members, I took a journey back to Limina, Sicily, where my grandfather was from, with my wife. She was my fiance at the time. And I found out a story that I never knew. And I remember going to the cemetery with this person that I met, and I was looking outside towards the mountains, and I was like, wow, this is a movie. This is a movie. So I never really wrote a script before. I always wanted to do like a one-man show about my life or try to write a script, but I was never good enough or ready enough or brave enough, one of those things, or talented enough, and I'm still probably not in any of those. But I came home from that experience so inspired and so moved. That I said, I just started writing, and I wrote for about 3 months, and I handed it off to a very dear friend of mine. I won't mention his name, but he's very, 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 very successful in the business. And he said, hey, this is really good. He goes, it needs a lot of work with structure and this and that, but the visceral feelings are really tremendous. And I think you should try to get this done. But you know, in Hollywood and all other aspects of life, it's always about money, mm-hmm. money, money, money. Mm-hmm. So I tried, you know, I said to myself, where am I going to get $3 million to do this passionate film? So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out a way to condense the film and just take the Sicilian journey and make a story about that. Just take the story inside the story and make that journey. So what I did was I started to reshape the script. I just took this part of the story, and I won a grant from the Russo brothers at NIAF. I won a big grant there, but it was only for $8,000. So it's like, that was basically gets me to Sicily. And then I had to really pay. I paid the rest of the film for myself and the crew and such and such. So, but we used only people from the village. I used my cousin that I met that first time. He became an actor in the film. My wife and people from the village. And we did a film. And we shot for about 4.5 days and came out with this 45-minute film that's won many, many awards around the world and was one of the only Italian-American film. Sicilian-American film that was selected to the Taormina Film Festival. But unfortunately, with COVID, we got canceled out. But it's been really, really inspirational to a lot of people because it's about finding your roots. Mm-hmm. And it seems today that a lot of people are trying to reconnect or retrace. So that was one of the things that I've always been interested in. So this film really, really has been a linchpin for people to go to see that experience or to mirror their experience to say, hey, I had that same experience. So it's been making the rounds for the last couple of years with really, really great response, emotional response, and it really hits home. So that started my craziness with all this material. And it's actually it was selected just this year again to go back to Piazza Armerina to be the opening film of the Roots Tourism in Italy. So they're using that film. And also another village is using that. So I'm very, very, very proud of that. I'm very, very excited about it. But I do have a 2-hour feature of Ritornato that takes place in New York and also goes to Sicily and comes back around. So we're hoping that somebody comes along like yourself or somebody in Los Gatos that wants to help us.
They have the money there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Yeah, so that started my journey to Sicily, and you know, I had conversations with my mom when she was very sick. I remember, you know, when she was very, very ill, we would talk about my grandfather, because I was very close to my grandfather. He never spoke English, but I kind of knew what he was saying because of the way he, you know, grabbed my face and put a hat on my head or whatever. So that stuck with me. And so now that's all I do. All the work that I do is a cultural work and giving back. And my latest film, La Porta dell'Inferno, is a story about the sulfur miners they're called Carusi in central Sicily. A very, very, very tough story to tell. Very, very, they worked in very, very terrible conditions down below the earth, 2,000 feet. But for some reason, this story was compelling to me that I needed to say it, to tell it. Now, my perspective is a different perspective than maybe the perspective of the people that were there at the time and also their family members. But you know, I remember a lot of people tell me, "Oh, don't make this. Don't do this film. It's ridiculous. It's bad. It's bad for Sicily." And I said, "But there's got to be something that good came out of this, you know." So I wrote a screenplay that I have finished. That is probably not as good as I hope it to be, but it is what it is. And I wanted to go back and do a little research. So I knew a few people, and I said, "Michael, there's sulfur mines that are still in existence. They're not working, but they're there. They're museums and such." So I went back and. I was lucky to be introduced to about four or five men that were still alive that worked in the years 1938, 1940 at 14 years old in the sulfur mines down beneath the earth in Florastella and Enna and Caltanissetta in these little towns. And I met them and I met their families and I interviewed the men. And we did it at the sulfur mines where they worked 50, 60 years earlier. And if I could tell you that, how moved I was to see the greatness of these men and the resiliency and the relentless spirit for family, for love, for sacrifice. It changed my life forever. And I really looked at them and I said, you know, I need to become a better man just by meeting them. So this story represents them in some way. That, you know, this doesn't represent every city that had it, but it represents the feeling and the men that went through this process. And, It was a tough story to tell, but the great part of it is when I went back as a Sicilian American, they received me in a different way. Mm. They weren't sure, but when I showed the film, they recognized the homage was from a personal perspective and a perspective of somebody from the outside. And all of a sudden, they were not peasants anymore. And the first review I got, which I thought was spectacular, really got it. He goes, "The Sicilian American director redefines the superheroes of the sulfur mines." Wow. And that has now been the identity of which they are represented. And I'm so grateful that that perspective is taken. And you know, when I show it, and I showed it in schools all over Sicily, I'm going back again. I showed it in universities. The young kids don't know this story because it's a bad story. They don't want to tell the story.
Sure.
But coming from somebody like me, who's a little bit of an outsider, also, you know, I was in the Karate Kids, so a lot of people know me all over the world. Mm-hmm. So a lot of kids connect to me. So I use that as a tool to work my way in and then talk about these personal stories. And the experiences have been just incredibly moving. And we would cry together. We would laugh together. We would talk about their family, their grandparents. On stage, we'd hug. And it was emotional. And they thanked me so much for telling their history it's just an inspiring thing, and my work will continue to be that way. I'm doing another thing about ancestry. I'm doing another film about other subjects about that culture, and it's just something that really, really moves me. So I've been very grateful to everyone there, because every time I come, the doors are open. Michael, please come back, because I'm not asking for anything. This isn't about me taking from them. I'm giving them my heart. And you know what? With my own money, I don't ask them to give me anything.
Yeah.
It's because it's something that my grandfather instilled in me, the love of his culture. And also, he came to America and he loved America. So for me, it's both. And I want to represent that in my own little way. So that's what's been my work for the last, I would say, 5 years, 6 years. So here we are.
Wow. That gives me goosebumps. And I think I've heard this like time and again on my show where I've talked to people, this, first of all, just incredible hearing very unique stories that Yeah, I had no idea. So it's like the more specific something is, the more it can appeal to like massive amounts of people. So this yes. very specific story, of course, is going to impact people who live in Sicily. But it sounds like it's really when people get the opportunity all over the world, like just that connection of family, that the ancestry, things like that, it just resonates with yeah. humanity. So it's such a powerful thing to yeah. communicate this. I think it's just wonderful.
I think that with Ritornato, everybody has roots. Everybody wants to go back. Everybody has a different story when they go back. And so I think that's absolutely connects. And La Porta, you know, I found really interesting is that a couple of professors said to me, Michael, this hits not only obviously the history of what happened, but also socioeconomic things that are going on today, because these things happen, slave conditions, terrible workplaces. I mean, these guys were working naked 2000 feet down in the earth, carrying sulfur rock upstairs all day, up hundreds of steps all day long on 12, 13 hours a day. And a lot of these boys in the earlier part of the century, you know, in the early 1900s, they were sold by their families. As it progressed into the later years, child labor laws were supposed to be imposed, but they were never. They were never structured, and it became the same, just a little bit, maybe a little bit better. But to hear this, and then to hear these people today, professors all over the world say, Michael, this is a socioeconomic thing. This is something that anybody can relate to that comes from, I mean, it's going on today when people sure. come here to this country. So I think that's what hits a nerve is that when I went to the universities, it's very fascinating because, you know, some of the kids are from Latin countries and you know, and they're like, Michael, this happened here. This is what's going on there. And they all connected to it. So yeah. that's a universal lesson, like you're saying. So mm-hmm. it's funny that because the person that basically the quote that inspired me was from Booker T. Washington. Who was an African American slave who became like a philosopher, like a socioeconomic economic crusader for the slavery, and he went back to Italy to Europe actually to see their conditions and he kind of compare them to ours, and he went to Sicily and he saw these young boys and he wrote, "Being a Carusi is worse than being in hell. It's worse than being an agricultural slave in America." So when I saw that, I said, "Wait a minute." So I read his book, The Man Farthest Down, and he had like five or six chapters to it. And I was like, wow, this is so it's a fascinating connection to that, you know, that really yeah. inspired me. And then from that, my head ran and I just started writing. And I don't know what I was doing, but I took my imagination and ran with that quote. I just ran and wrote, yeah. you know? So, wow. yeah.
That's beautiful. That's, man, I yeah. had no idea. I think kind of hopping over to like a logistical question. I'm always really curious, especially with documentaries. When you make a documentary, you know, you have an idea maybe where you want to go with it. You're walking into it, but there's just so much that is like will surprise you. So much that comes at you. You have no control over what people are saying, which is what you want. You want to learn. You're curious. But when do you know a documentary is done? When do you know that you've completed your documentary?
Well, you know, I don't think you ever finish with it. You know, it kind of the documentary kind of just appeared out of the research for the full script. So, you know, and I think that's kind of cool because I think that things that happen just by improvisation and in the moment became the great experience because it was actually me being with them and being part of it, which is not I didn't want to do a talking head documentary. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to participate and see, you know, they affected me so much that I had to cut out like half of the stuff because I was crying all the time. I'm a softie at heart. So it's like, I was moved so much, but I was trying to capture the reality and the fun of those guys and also the terrible part of it. So with the documentary, I mean, there was things that I really wanted to get in there that I just like, you know, I could have did this. I could have did that. Then it becomes endless amounts of money and endless amounts of this. And then, you know, what happens, I think, also is that people say they're going to do something and they continue to do it, but they never finish anything.
Sure.
So for me, it was a quest to, you know what, listen, this is kind of what I'm trying to do. This is the gist of it. And I think just by getting what I always say, if you get a moment or two that you're moved by something or you can learn something, then you did your job. Mm-hmm. So if I gave people just the idea of what this was, or they never heard of this before, which is what a lot of people are saying to me, then basically I did my job, because we can go on for episodes and more episodes. It's like a film script, a regular script. You could write, can I change that? But you got to just say, like my buddy says, you got to just let it go.
Yeah.
So I believed in my heart that with my love of the culture and my passion and my true respect for them, mm-hmm. that people would want to just spend an hour with us and just kind of watch it. It doesn't have to be the greatest thing in the world, which it probably isn't, but I'll tell you what, learn, you're moved, and you appreciate the men. And that's really what I was setting out to do. And then the families were really, to see that, the really great thing was, is that I wanted to show what they did, the sacrifice that these men made, because they were given it for their kids. Mm-hmm. So I had them interviewed behind them. And, these kids are doctors, lawyers. They were able to go to school on the backs of these men, on the shoulders of these men. And that's really what I wanted to say, was that no matter how dark a thing is, no matter how bad somebody treats you, if you keep fighting, if you keep pushing, somewhere along the line, something's going to open, the world's going to change. And that's kind of what the message was in this experience. So.
Yeah. And what I think is so great too, is that, there's so many, so much in history, so many things that are just forgotten. People don't know it happens. Yeah. And then it's such a tragedy because of that. And the impact, like these men, they're, like you just said, what they did impacted people in a positive way. And then that trickles down. And it really has a powerful impact on so many people, so their kids, grandkids, and so on, that I think it's just so important for people to at least have that awareness that, you know, the fact that we are here, even something positive, right? Or like hardworking, right? or like strong values, strong, like hardworking. I think it's just an incredible story. And I'm so happy people are able to see it.
I think that what you said, the strong values and the pursuit of those things and family, to me is moving, and it's unbelievable that somebody from outside of their country is the one that's giving the message. And I think, but that's the greatest way. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest way. And I think because I think you could see how passionate I am as a human being, that I've been asked to speak at some of the greatest places in the world, and I'm going to go around. I was in Poland. I was just asked to go to Salt Lake. But the point is, if you talk about it with a message, yes, it's terrible. Yes, it's grueling. Yes, it was horrible. But look what happened.
Yeah.
We can make a difference. We can have a voice. And if you do it, if you're like, I'm not afraid to speak about it. I'm not, and I defy stereotypes. I don't want to be the stereotypical Sicilian kid from America that talks the way that some of these, I don't want that in my life. God bless those that do, but that's not me, because I know what it took for my grandfather to come and millions of others and what he did. And I don't want that to go away. So with every breath that I have and every moment that when I talk to people like you, I try to stress, guys, this is our job. For all cultures, all of us, to give back and to lift it up and keep moving forward. So I don't know. I think, when I was a kid, it's funny, I was a big history buff. Mm-hmm. And I kind of always loved, I was always into wisdom. And I always talked to the older people. I always was hanging around those people. And it seems to me this has carried me through my life. And I guess maybe with the loss of my mom and my grandfather, my father, maybe that's why I reached to them. And it's actually helping me heal. Mm-hmm. In my life, it helped me heal. So I feel very blessed.
That's wonderful. Well, let's tell people where they can find more information about the film. So the screening in Ontario, Canada is Sunday, April 7th at the Zoetic Theatre.
It's in Hamilton, Canada.
Canada. Okay, wonderful. So we'll have a link to where people, if you're up in that area, you'll be able to screen it. But then also there's a website and then are there any social media or any just places people can kind of follow the journey of you and the films?
Yes. Well, you can grab me on Facebook, because I'm very, very, I'm always answer back. You can message me. You want to write to me. I love having conversations with people that are interested. So I'm Michael Cavalieri on Facebook. You can go to neverforgetyourroots.com, which is my new webpage, which gives you a history of who I am and about the films. And actually, you can rent the Ritornato there. And you can see a trailer, which is a beautiful trailer of La Puerta del Inferno. Mm-hmm. You can see a lot of the press and a lot of behind the scenes. I also have a shop with merchandise that I do that is right kind of cool.
I was noticing that mug. Yeah, it's a pretty sweet
mug. This is my Sicilian that goes. You can see that at neverforgetyourroots.com. Also, Instagram, Ritornato_the_movie_. And RitornatoTheMovie.com, they can go directly there as well. So I'm available. I love talking to people. I love being inspired by stories. And we're all, yeah, so we'll be in San Francisco April 18th at the San Francisco Italian American Athletic Club in San Francisco. So I'm excited there. That's online as well. You can look, search that online. You'll see that. And then we're going to, we're leaving for Sicily May 1st with my new baby boy, Matteo.
Oh, wonderful.
Congratulations.
That is outstanding. I thought I heard a baby. Congratulations.
He's drinking his milk in the background.
I love it.
We're going to be May 5th and 6th in Caltanissetta, Sicily, having a big event. And then also May 14th and 15th in Valguanera, the area where I shot the film. I'm getting a world, they're honoring me with the World Award, which is an amazing humanitarian award, which I'm so, so thrilled to receive. And then May 12th, so this is throughout Sicily. I know people won't be there, but if you're in Sicily,
yeah,
if you're going to Sicily, write to me on Facebook. I can tell you where we're going to appear. And then we're going to be in San Diego also August 9th through 11th in Little Italy with the film. And we have some other events that I'll be setting up. But please touch base and neverforgetyourroots.com. And just, you know, we got a lot of interviews on there, things that are fun to look at. Mm-hmm. And one of the great, great clips that we have on neverforgetyourroots.com, besides the trailer, Kyler, is there's a small clip when I first did the first event showing, and it was a little monastery. I was like, oh man, what happened? I thought it was going to be a theater. Anyway, long story short, there was a lot of problems with the projection, the sound. People were leaving. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, no.
But one of those. But we finally got everything set up. And one of the guys that was one of the main characters in my story was there, and he was like frustrated, right? So I said, Salvatore. I said, wait. So the movie started to go. And then he got up to leave, like in the middle of the movie, like almost like the first 15 minutes. And one of my friends stopped and he goes, I'm not in. He goes, no, wait. You know, anyway, so as the movie progressed, he became a very big part of the film. At the end of the film, you know, whatever, the people, the audience clap, whatever. But he got up and another man got up from the other side of the room, and they were friends that hadn't seen each other in 50 years.
Oh my gosh.
And they were hugging and crying, and all the people were crying along with them. And it was, for me, that was it. That showed me, if I can get that one moment, good or bad, it doesn't matter. This is what I brought together. We bring people together. So we had a senator of Rome that was there that was crying. People were crying because it was their history being told from a humanitarian, you know, place. And that one moment really, really is the moment that really pushed the film into another stratosphere. So that's on the neverforgetyourroots.com as well. A couple of those clips and me with the students. You can see me behind the scenes and at the sulfur mine. So I hope people take a look at it and tell me what you think. Write to me. Tell me what you think.
Wonderful. Well, I'll have links to all of this so people can easily find it. And you know, like,
how... we're going to be on. Oh, I'm sorry, Kyle.
No, go ahead.
We're going to be on Buffalo TV April 27th, local TV in Buffalo.
Great.
So, okay, we're going to be on local TV in Buffalo.
Wonderful.
Sorry, I forgot that. Yeah.
Anything you have is great. And I think I just love how busy you are with this. And I think it's just so incredible, like full. I can't imagine how emotional you must feel now, and how you're going to feel, especially bringing your new son to this. I mean, it's just, I you can't put it in words. Like, this is incredible. So this is great.
Yeah, I did that. Matteo, it took us a long time.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, again, Michael, thank you so much for being on the show. This was a real treat. I'm very excited to follow the journey of these films and make people aware of them. I think very important stories here. And a real pleasure speaking with you today. Like, again, I said, everybody, I'll have links to where people can find more information. And please reach out to Michael. Sounds like he loves hearing from you all. So please reach out. Do not hesitate. Again, Michael, thank you so much for being here today.
Kyler, thank you. It's a privilege for me to do this. Thank you so much. You're a gentleman. Thank you. Bye, everybody. Ciao, ciao. Buongiorno.